Hello and welcome to Seven Times a Charm. On this show, we discuss dating, relationships, marriage, and divorce from a unique perspective, the perspective of two regular people. I'm John.
And I'm Danielle.
I've been divorced three times.
And I've been divorced twice.
Obviously, we're not relationship experts. Between us, we've learned many hard lessons, and that's why we started this podcast, so we can pass those lessons on and help others have better, healthier relationships. Basically, we've made all the mistakes, so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us. Let's get started.
Okay. Here's why I said we should just start it. Because I want to continue this conversation that we had over breakfast. And well, look, I'm just tired of all the Nickelback hate. And you're part of it. Okay?
Yeah, and?
Why did you jump on the bandwagon for hating Nickelback?
I didn't jump on a bandwagon. I created the bandwagon. You're assuming that I joined into some, like, popular mantra from 2023 when I've hated Nickelback since their inception.
I would argue that you don't hate Nickelback. I have argued that you don't hate Nickelback, that you just jumped on the bandwagon because you dance and you play along to the whole song when they come on. So I would argue that you're just part of this, like, ooh, let's all hate on Nickelback group that happened like a year or two ago.
No. Okay, I'm gonna go track down my ex-husband, my ex-husband, and I'll let him tell you, did I love Nickelback or hate them back in 2002-3 whenever they first came on the scene?
They're one of the most popular bands of all time. Why do people hate on them?
That doesn't mean that I have to like them.
I'm not saying you have to like them. It just feels like you dance along, you sing along to their music, and then you claim to hate them. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't... Okay, let's clarify something, though, because I don't hate them. I don't hate the people in the band. I hate their their style, their vibe, their... Like, they're just like this, I don't know, it's so greasy and,
I don't understand.
They take themselves so seriously when their music is so campy. Yeah.
So what you actually hate is their songwriters.
I hate their style.
Well, okay.
So if that's their songwriters, then yeah. I don't know if they write their own music or not.
Yeah, well, I don't know that we know this, but as Deadpool recently said, 11th best-selling musical group of all time. So I'm just going to stop right
there. What was my response to that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't have to like them just because of that. And I agree.
No, 81 million votes doesn't make you right.
Yeah, well, we all know that that's not true, that the 81 million is BS, and sales is actually measured by actual sales, not illegally things done in the middle of the night and done in courtrooms across the United States. So it's not the same. But you're right. You know, some people claim that Dingbat in Chief right now is the best thing since sliced bread, and we know that's not true. So I see that we're allowed to have differing opinions here. But I also see your response when, if you got all excited like a little schoolgirl when Dingleback came on TV, then it would be reasonable for me to assume that you're a fan of his.
A fan of Joe Biden's. Let me just say it again, a fan of Joe Biden's.
Gross. Nobody is actually a fan.
Listen, where is this going to go? Like, what is the point of having this conversation anymore?
Because the point is because I want people to understand that we're just regular people, too. And this is how regular we are. And I want to... This whole episode, I think, is going to turn into kind of a mess. And why not just start it that way?
Oh, great. That's great.
Because we have to back clean up on all the things that we've already done.
Yeah.
And we know where that conversation's going to end up. It's going to end up on the Father's Rights Matter.
Maybe. It's Father's Lives Matter.
Sorry, yeah, Father's Lives Matter.
So, okay, all right. So can I just, like, clean up what we've done already in this episode? Because we were just eating breakfast, arguing about Nickelback. And then it's like, okay, it's time to record because this is our only opportunity to record a podcast episode and get it published by our deadline. And if we don't do it now, we're going to regret it later. Correct. Right? Like, even though I wanted to go to Costco and essentially play hooky instead.
I wanted to go look at a motorcycle.
And that. And there were some other things I wanted to do that are not recording this podcast episode.
Like what?
Well, I was sick for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Like I honestly... weeks. Yeah, it's weird. Like... I honestly don't even know how long it was because I've just been, like, existing, like, just getting through it. I know that my first kid who got sick before me, she missed school on February 23rd because she had a fever that day. And it's March 11th as we're recording this. So February had 29 days this year. That's 6 days plus another 11, 6, 17. So that's 2.5 weeks of my life that are gone. That I did nothing besides take care of sick kids and then be a sick kid.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've ever been that sick ever. As an adult, at least. Ever.
So, you told me this morning something interesting, and we have been dating now for, what, a year and coming up on a half?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, yeah. Depends on what the official start date of that.
Didn't we determine the official start date was in October?
Of 22. So I guess a year and a half, sure.
Okay. And you still, this week, were not comfortable with me seeing you at your worst.
No. I wasn't.
Why?
Because it was so ugly.
But I don't care. Isn't that part of being in a relationship?
I mean, I guess. But, like, this was bad. I wasn't throwing up. I didn't have diarrhea. So it wasn't like that. But I literally had a trash can everywhere I went for like 3 days. Because I was either blowing my nose and throwing away the tissues or spitting up phlegm and throwing away the tissues or just spitting directly into the trash can itself.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was just nasty. It was gross.
So why does that mean you shouldn't let me help you?
I don't know. I don't know that you could have helped me.
Yeah.
I mean, you did. You did help me. You took care of me. You brought me water. You put essential oils in the diffuser. You probably cooked food when I was able to eat.
Mm-hmm. I went shopping for you a couple times.
Yeah.
Right.
So you did help me. So what are you saying?
I don't know. I just, what if we lived together and you weren't able to avoid me while you were at your worst and I would see you at your worst? Do you think I'd think less of you? Do you think, like, why did you actively avoid letting me see you during that time?
I don't really know the answer to that. I don't. Yeah. But I felt like the first, let's see. It was a Thursday afternoon when I was like, I don't feel so good. My body is hurting everywhere. The kids were just sick right before me. They had just gone back to school that day. I had 4 client calls. I finish up those client calls. And then I'm like, I've been kind of feeling weird for a few hours, but I was ignoring it to just like get through my work day. And then the next morning we woke up. You took your child to the school, and I met you at the gym as we normally would. By the time we got to the gym, I was like, I don't think I should be here.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've really acknowledged that I'm not in the condition to be here.
Right.
And I was supposed to be leaving the next day to go to Fort Wayne for a video shoot. And...
it's a good thing you didn't go.
No, I was actually going to leave that day at noon, yeah, the same day.
After the gym.
Yes. And so at that moment I was like, I also don't think I'm okay to drive 6 or 7 hours alone and then do a video shoot tomorrow. And I kept thinking, like, I'll just push through it. I can do it. It's okay. But then what really got me, like what finally got me to say, no, I need to let them know I can't go was, oh, what if I get someone else sick? Mm. And I don't generally worry about that. But in this instance, I was like, no, that's not cool. So I'm going to let them know I'm not going.
You know what you could have done? You could have just worn a mask.
That would have been the stupidest thing ever. that's almost as stupid as Nickelback.
I tried so hard to keep a straight face. I really did. It didn't work.
Oh my God, are we going to talk about Mask now?
No, I just had to just throw that in there because every once in a while, why not?
Why not wear a mask?
No, why not just screw with that whole...
You've worn a mask more the times than I have, so...
Have I?
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
Prove it.
When you go to the VA?
Oh, well, because they'll kick me out if I don't.
Yeah. I didn't go to some place that would
kick me
out.
I don't have a choice but go there. And see, that's... okay. Okay, yeah. We're going all the way down that rabbit hole, social health care, socialized
healthcare. Medicine.
Yeah. Anybody that wants socialized medicine needs to just go be a patient at the VA one time. That's all it'll take, one time.
It's pretty bad.
Anyway, what were you saying before I interrupted you?
I was just talking about the progression of getting sick. But anyway, so I didn't go to Fort Wayne. I stayed home. And Saturday and Sunday, we hung out. I went to Allison's soccer game Saturday.
We rode on the motorcycle.
And Sunday. Did we ride both days?
Once.
I think we rode Saturday only.
We rode the first day, not the second day.
And then Monday rolls around, and you go home, and I was like, oh, there's like a whole nother level of this coming right now. And then I felt like... I don't know, like, once I was by myself, I just, like, sunk into this deep, deep, deep sickness that was just, like, before then, I was just kind of like, I have a cold, and everything feels a little achy, but I'm okay, it's all okay. It was more like I was in denial.
Yeah.
About actually how sick I was, or how sick I was getting. So, then Monday, my mom came and helped me with the kids, and I just stayed in bed all evening. Tuesday, I didn't take the kids to school because I was just like, no. Like, let's just...
You didn't even have the energy to get up and get out of bed.
Let's just stay in bed, yeah. And the kids actually were really happy to stay home from school. And they all were great. They, like, the house was quiet. No one was arguing. So I felt like I made the right call, even though some people might disagree with me.
Well, now that's where our podcast comes into play here. So who didn't agree with you?
Oh, their father didn't agree with me not taking them to school.
So in your parallel parenting world there, how'd that go?
I'm kind of on the fence about how much I want to say about it because... I mean, from the start with this podcast, we knew that, you know, any of our kids could listen to this, whether it be now or like 10 years from now, assuming that all of the episodes are still on the internet, right? But then one of my kids actually did listen to one of our episodes, and she wasn't exactly excited about some of the things that we said. So now I'm like, how much do I want to say about my own experience with co-parenting, parallel parenting, you know, whatever. But I don't know. What are you getting at? Because maybe we can just kind of like go straight to it instead of...
No, I was just kind of curious, like, you know, because we talk about co-parenting, parallel parenting, all this kind of stuff. And what I will say about, you know, what happened with one of your kids and listening to the show and this and that is... We started this to be brutally right up front, in your face, honest, and straightforward about everything. And that's how I plan on continuing forward. And the people that don't want to hear that don't need to listen. So I think that it's been made clear to the person that listened to it that it's not necessarily aimed at people like them. And they don't need to listen. And I think that's the choice that's being made now is that they're not listening to it anymore if they don't want to, right?
Yeah.
So it kind of... I don't necessarily like the fact that you're afraid to talk about the hard stuff in that situation because of that.
Well, it's not that I'm afraid to talk about hard stuff. It's that anything that's coming to my mind right now to say is not... It's my perception of the truth of what happened.
So, and that's kind of where I was going with it, is you did this thing while you had your kids because you just weren't ready to do that day, and you couldn't. And taking them to school would add in more things, like going to pick them up and this and that, mm-hmm. the next thing. So your ex didn't agree with that.
Well, what I do feel comfortable saying is that the Monday evening when my mom was here with my kids, I had asked him before having my mom come, can you take the kids? Because I am really sick. And can I stay at your house tonight? And he said, oh man, I would love to help out, but I have to work this evening. And I was like, okay. I mean, that's basically what I figured that he would say. And just kind of left it at that, right? And then Tuesday, because they had stayed at my house, I mean, they were scheduled to be here at my house anyway, but Tuesday, they're with me, they're under my care, and I'm like the sickest I've ever been in my entire life. I didn't take them to school. They then told him that they weren't going to school, and I should have been the one to tell him, hey, the kids aren't going to school today.
But you were deathly ill in bed.
Right? So, I mean, yeah. But then he, I'll say, freaked out and was like, oh my gosh, I'll come get them. And I was like, no, I've already contacted their schools. I've already told them that they can go back to bed and we're fine. Like, we don't need anything from you. Please stay away. And he continued to kind of like pester me and was like, hey, do you need medication? Do you want me to take you to the doctor? Blah, 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 blah. And you see, these are the kinds of things that like the unsuspecting eye or ear might see or hear and think like, oh, that's just like, that's kindness.
Right.
But it's not. And it took me a very long time to really be able to decipher and understand how much manipulation was actually happening right before my very eyes, right? And so...
Well, it wasn't before your eyes. It was happening to you.
To me, yes. Yeah, to me. And so, you know, like, that's... Yes, there are people that don't want to hear that, or that don't think that I should talk about that publicly, mm-hmm. or that I shouldn't say anything negative about my children's father. But the thing is, if we don't talk about these kinds of situations and scenarios and relationships and circumstances, how do people...
learn?
Yeah. Yes. How do we help other people not find themselves in situations like this?
So I...
And then is it really just like, oh, we're so individualistic? This is one of, you know, the complaints of people who are not capitalistic or who don't, you know, love America or whatever, that we're too individualistic. But it's being individualistic when you don't share your lessons, because then you're like, you're just hoping that the other people figure it out on their own.
Well, and how often should you continually expose yourself to a person that caused you mental harm in the past, right? How often should you? But you're right, people from the outside will look at that and go, oh my god, that's so nice, like you said. So here's something I read the other day, and I just, this conversation reminded me, I had no idea that we were going to go this direction, which I usually don't know which direction we're going when we hit record.
We don't know what direction we're going.
So listen to this, and tell me if you agree with this. Here's just a reminder that you're allowed to talk about what they did to you and how it hurt you. And it doesn't matter how they feel about you talking about it, because if they wanted people to think they were nicer, they should have been nicer.
Mm.
So the pushback that we're getting from people is from people that don't like what we have to say about them. And honestly, that's how I feel about it. One, I'm a pretty in-your-face person, so if you don't like what I have to say, then either one, don't listen, or two, shut the hell up and move on. I've lost a lot of friends with that attitude. I've lost a lot of acquaintances, especially over the last 2 years, with that attitude. But I've gone about my situation where if you don't like what I have to say about my ex-wife, then you can feel free to go F yourself. And yeah, you have an okay, you know, you have a working, what I'd call a working relationship with your most recent ex, right?
Yeah.
But you're allowed to say bad things about people that did bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that to be afraid or to be standoffish about saying things like that, you know, it's not necessarily healthy.
Well, there's another piece of this puzzle, though, and sure. Why he, in my opinion, overreacted to me not taking the kids to school simply because I was sick. Like, I was literally lacking the ability to get up and take them to school. And not just, you know, take them, drive them there, but, like, my two youngest need a lot of interaction to get up and to get dressed and to get their lunches ready and to get their waters filled and to get their backpacks on and all the things. So, the reason I think that he had such an over-exaggerated response to this was because one of the children had told me he had stayed at his girlfriend's house the night before.
Wait, girlfriend?
Fiance.
Okay.
I mean, whatever.
Remind me, when was your divorce final?
It was final December 8th.
So
they're getting married April 13th. So he had told me he couldn't take the kids the night before because he had to work, right? And that remind me to turn the ice maker off the next time that we record in my living room. But one of the kids in the meantime tells me he had stayed at his girlfriend's house last night, which is an hour away from where we live.
So this was, he stayed at his girlfriend's when he said that, this is to clarify in my mind. So you asked him, could the girls stay with you?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, I have to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you found out later that he was actually staying at his girlfriend's house.
He did, I believe, work.
Okay.
But after work, when he could have still come and gotten the kids.
He stayed with his
girlfriend's. And I let him know that I knew that.
And then that's when.
And that's when, changed. Yeah, that's when, you know, the weird things started happening, like, well, I'll come get the kids, or, like, do you need me to take you to the doctor, or do you need some medicine? And I'm like, I've already been to the doctor, I've already had tests done, I've already had my mom come and help.
And
John's got it, like, it's...
Right, and see, when you were telling me he was offering you, can I take you to the doctor, can I bring something to you? Well, no, because, one, this is aimed at him. She's not your responsibility anymore. And two, that's my girlfriend that you're talking to there, buddy. So maybe calm down a little bit about helping out somebody who's not your responsibility. And I got this now.
Yeah. But like I said, it was an over-exaggerated response to having been caught in a lie.
Mm.
Yeah. So I can see that now. Whereas before, you know, I might not have been able to put those pieces together. Now I understand this exaggerated response, like the multiple questions, the multiple messages sent, even when I'm not responding, is in response to him knowing that I know he was dishonest with me.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's that. one thing I wanted to say, though, on the note of, like, feedback that we've been getting from people about the podcast so far, is the only people that I feel, maybe with the exception of, like, one person, that we've gotten negative feedback from are people that we have talked about
right.
on this podcast.
Yeah.
And that even has been pretty minimal. And everybody else that has communicated with us, like, oh, I've listened to the podcast, they've said positive things, and not just like, oh, it's so awesome that you guys are doing this, but there have been a lot of people that have messaged and said, thank you so much for sharing your stories. I'm going through something similar, et cetera. Right. Yeah. And so like it's actually doing what we had hoped that it would do, which is help people who are in difficult relationships.
Yeah.
Unhealthy, sometimes toxic relationships, and just knowing that they're not alone. And also, I think removing some of the
stigma.
Yeah. Removing some of the stigma about getting out of situations that are just, they're not healthy, and they just keep you on this merry-go-round of like, I hope this improves. I hope this will change. I hope this gets better.
Well, and a lot of times people that are causing the toxicity in a relationship, a lot of times they convince you, i.e. the victim, that, oh, well, you're crazy if you say something, or you shouldn't be telling people what's going on in our relationship, or this or that or the next thing. So that'll stop people from even, in my previous life as a police officer, it'll stop people from calling the police when they're being abused. It'll stop people from telling their counselor, maybe they're going to counseling, but they're not being 100% honest with them and things like this. Look, you and I even... when we started this podcast, we're like, you know what? Basically, nothing's off limits other than our kids' names and things like that. Because we're not trying to fully involve them other than the fact that we have kids. But
I'm not trying to involve them at all.
Well, you know what I mean? Other than the fact that we have children and we have to do co-parenting and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But we do our best not to say their names and things like that. But even though we did that, even today, I kind of had to lead you a little bit to get you down the path that you just went through this week.
It's also more fun that way.
Oh.
It's my seductive power.
Oh, well, that you definitely have.
It's like, would you really want me to just go straight to it? Or do you like the dance that I do of like, oh, I'll give you a little bit. But I don't know. Maybe ask me. Tell me you want more.
Is it getting warmer in here? anyway. Am I blushing?
You are, actually.
Oh, okay, yeah. Interesting.
It's funny that I'm the one that's saying that, and you're the one that's blushing.
So we have to eventually back clean up on what we've previously done here.
Yeah? Where do you want to go next?
Well, one of the major questions that I got was that early on in our conversations, I said I had a relationship with you and your two.
Yeah, two.
Okay. I am not gay. I am not bi. I am very straight. The relationship I had with both of you was a friendship between both of you that turned romantic with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is very clear now.
That was not something I would have anticipated, because the people that asked you were like your best friends.
Yeah.
They were like, wait, so hold on, are you bi? I'm like, oh, well, if they're asking, then other people are wondering the same thing,
I'm sure.
They're
probably thinking about it, yeah.
But...
or they made assumptions that I am.
Yeah.
At least these people know me well enough to maybe ask.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if your best friends were not sure, then there definitely have been other people who made assumptions, and they think that they're correct, or, like, they're just kind of wondering, guessing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess to be more clear, like, there's some people that have listened to the podcast and have decided, without any question, that you're bisexual.
Right.
And there's other people that are like, maybe that's what they're getting at.
Yeah. No, that is not what we're getting at.
No.
At all. Okay. So what else did we got a little bit of negative feedback from, Fathers Lives Matter, the interview we did with him.
From Fathers Lives Matter.
No.
From the episode where we talked with Alan from that organization.
Who I will stand behind 100% still now and moving forward, because I fully believe that he's doing great things for fathers out there. People took it as Well, not many people, but at least some. There's that super fun ice maker again.
Yeah.
But they took it as a kind of a woman-hating episode, and I don't believe that that's what it was. And I know you kind of felt a little bit like that just because of his role, but the thing is, he's calling out bad behavior from a father's perspective, and that, a lot of times, from a father's perspective, looks like it's the woman doing it. And if he's calling out bad behavior, he's pointing out bad behavior, it's not hating on somebody, it's just pointing out what they're doing.
Ooh, I mean, I knew that episode was going to be the one that we've done so far that would rock the boat the most, right? Like, something that I've learned since we've done this podcast is, generally speaking, my worst fears don't come true, because I only had told my best friend that I was, you know, in an open relationship. And also, that's another thing, like, my definition of open relationship is not most people's definition of open relationship, apparently. But we can come back to that if needed. Anyway, like,
well, I think people are going to want to understand what that means.
Well, okay, to me, when I used the phrase or the words open relationship, to me that meant like we had sex with other people. It didn't necessarily mean what I think most people's definition from the conversations I've had since we published the first episode is an open relationship is like they can have sex with whoever they want to. And yeah. I'm still unclear about what was actually happening in that regard in my second marriage. But for me, personally, I only ever had sex with, well, one other male before you.
Yeah.
And not, how can I say this? It wasn't like, you know, if he went out of town, I just had, like, a random hookup and didn't tell him about it.
Right.
So I don't know. It wasn't what I thought. How can I'm like all twisted up now for words, but essentially what it comes down to is like, for me, I was relatively monogamous with two people.
I know the answer to this, but why did you feel the need to do that in that relationship?
Oh, God. How long do you want to talk about that?
I think that this might be, you know, a good thing, a bad thing. I don't know. People can make their own decision on whether or not open relationship is for them. And I encourage people to make their own decisions, to live their life how they want to. But why in your mind? Because I have some of that in my history, not necessarily open, but you know, alternative things in my relationships that we can talk about in the future. But what drew you to that, or why did you guys end up in that kind of relationship?
It started before we were married, and I'm pretty certain, I'm not 100% certain because this has been so long ago now, that initially we explored, if you will, with other women. As far as I know, well, no, there were some exceptions to this. I was present when he had sex with other women.
Yeah.
But I'm not into women. Like, I don't even know why I found myself in the situation where, like, I was presented with possibilities of doing things that I just didn't want to do.
So do you think you did them to please him? And do you think maybe that's why? Or did you actually enjoy being in that lifestyle, quote-unquote lifestyle? I know that you don't want to be in it now.
No.
But it was... Well, when you and I started this thing, you were still married, and You were still together, although whatever had happened with the other situation happened, but you were pretty well convinced that that was the life you wanted to live. At least you seemed to think that was the life you wanted to live at the time.
Well, what I knew for sure was that I didn't want to... I didn't want to do what I ended up having to do, which was have my kids live in two separate homes.
Right. So was that for you more of a, you know, maybe early on in the, it was some exploring, some letting him kind of, you know, do what he wants. Maybe he'll be happy. I'm probably putting words in your mouth here and I shouldn't be doing that. But early on in the relationship, it seems like it was one thing. But later on in the relationship, it seems like it became another thing where you were trying to stay married, but also maybe have a connection that you weren't getting maybe at home, so to speak.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, very much. It definitely changed over time, right? Because in the beginning, we were in our early 30s, and it was kind of like, all I can really say right now is, like, it was the cool thing to do.
Well, there's, I mean, I'm not going to argue that at all, because it almost seems like it's still kind of the cool thing to do.
Oh, I think it is even more so now than it was then, right?
Yeah.
But...
it almost feels like you and I are moving backwards in the cool person like realm of doing all this stuff, right?
Well, I guess that's what happens when you're like getting close to 50.
I don't even know that that's true, but I'm just saying, I think that you and I have lived enough life to understand that that's not necessarily what makes people happy, right? But I feel like again, you were working your way to this, and I interrupted you, so I shouldn't have. So I'm just going to let you finish before I sound like an idiot.
Well, I'm finish what? I'm not even sure where I'm going now.
What your attitude about it was towards the end, like when you and I started. Well, maybe even a year or two before that.
Oh, boy. This opens such a big can of worms. And I know that... number two's very concerned about how much I might say regarding his
proclivities,
preferences, proclivities, unusual. I don't know that unusual is fair. Some of the things that he wanted were just not okay to me.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they were not okay to me, he could not stop participating. My gosh, we've made a lot of ice cubes during this episode. He couldn't stop. He could not stop.
So let me play a little bit of devil's advocate here. Right. And that's how you feel about it, right? But... also, you and I fully believe that a person should be able to do what they want when they, you know, for the most part, as long as they're not hurting someone, doing anything illegal. So I'm going to play a little devil's advocate. So you were maybe not necessarily ready, willing, or able, or interested in fulfilling some of the things that he wanted to do. So is it wrong to let him go do that?
I suggested that, actually. It's so, there's so much to this. There's like, because in the first couple of years that he and I participated in an, again, I'm putting this in air quotes, open relationship. This was before we were married even. Yeah. Okay. We were exploring with other women, and I'm saying exploring instead of like having sex with, because I don't think I qualified as having sex with other women.
Yeah.
He was, and I might have been present, but I wasn't engaging all the way. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but then there were times that he had sex with other women without me present.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of always like, I don't know.
Yeah.
How I feel about that.
Right.
Especially considering that one time it happened, like, I don't know, a couple of weeks, maybe a little bit longer, a couple of weeks after I had just had a baby.
Yeah.
We were also married at that point for under a year. Okay, don't interrupt me.
No,
let me keep going.
I'm thinking.
So then things kind of transitioned to where he had sex with other women less. I didn't participate with other women at all. And I want to say that he encouraged me. He did encourage me to engage with another person, a specific other person.
Before me. Because he did that with me, too.
Before you. Yeah. Yes. And that went on for, I think, like 10 years.
Yeah.
So during that time, I only ever had sex with number two. One day I'll get that the first time. Number two. And this other person, mm-hmm. a male person. Okay. Until things start to kind of get to a point where I'm like, okay, this dude comes in and out of my life. He's weird. He's like hot and then he's cold. He disappears. He comes back. He never has an explanation. He never says that he's sorry. Like, this is weird. Like, I'm starting to see this for what it is through a different lens now, right? And I start calling him out on it. Whereas before, I just kind of pretended like that I was okay with it. And I'm like, hey, I haven't heard from you for X number of months. What have you been doing? Where have you been? And he would never actually answer the question. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, I started asking more questions. Like, okay, if you want to have access to me, then I want this. If you want to have access to me, then I want to go to your house and have dinner with you beforehand. Instead of just you showing up, doing what you do, and leaving.
Right.
Because I wasn't feeling into that anymore. Yeah. I don't know that I ever really was that into it, but I was so encouraged to do that. Am I saying too much?
No.
Okay, because I'm like, the box has opened. All right.
I think so, people are going to find this interesting. And I don't think that you're just sitting here talking crap. I think you're just telling your truth about what actually happened and how you navigated through this in your relationship.
Listen, if I wanted to be...
You could be a lot meaner than you are.
I could be so direct and not try to like... navigate how to express myself and share my experience and my story while also respecting my children and knowing that, you know, there's a potential, there's a woman right now who is about to marry this dude.
Yeah.
And I've been in that exact situation. I was the one who was pregnant, about to get married to this guy, not able to see it for what it actually was.
Yeah.
Okay. So I started calling out my other person, like expecting more. And when I started to do that, things got extra weird. And I would say like, okay, well, you know, let me know if this is something that you're open to or not. And then he would just never say anything at all.
Yeah.
And literally weeks would go by and I'd be like, okay, well, I guess that's a no. Like, what am I supposed to just assume here? Because I'm not into this anymore. I'm not into playing games like this anymore. And then he'd, you know, come knocking on my text message door and be like, hey. And I'm like, what the fuck do you want?
Right.
I told you 3 weeks ago that if you want access to me, here's a parameter. Here's one. And I don't think that that's a lot to ask for.
No, it's pretty...
But I later find out that he was doing that because he also, God damn it, I can't, when I say this out loud, I'm like, Danielle, what the fuck? Really?
But isn't this how we heal?
I guess. Yeah. I mean, it's making me a little teary right now. But like, I find out that he's been, you know, like he gets a girlfriend essentially. And I'm not going to cry. He hands me a tissue.
Just in case.
Just, oh, that's a lot of, okay.
Well, they were kind of bunched up.
I'm much more likely to need to blow my nose than I am to cry right now. So he would be dating someone and then he would kind of like get a little serious with that person and start to pull back from me, but not tell me like, hey, I met someone and I want to give this a fair chance and I need to not engage with you right now.
So you were basically just his backup plan.
I was probably one of many mm-hmm. backup options.
Gotcha.
Right? And the weird thing is like, we have known each other since 2008. We were friends way before any of this other stuff ever came to be. And I had a certain amount of trust in this person then, yeah. You know, 2008, 2009, 2010, as well as throughout this entire decade of him and I having a relationship that's like a bonus relationship, right. In a sense.
A friend with benefits situation.
Yeah. Like, literally, he would sometimes come over if I was like, hey, I need help moving this furniture or whatever. Like, he would come help do it. And there were times that he and number two would go to the casino together and hang out as friends. So, I mean, I don't know. It didn't feel like too much. That's a lot of ice cubes. It didn't feel like too much to ask to have some transparency. Yeah. And when I started to, like, grow up a little bit in this scenario and ask for what I wanted more, that's when things got really weird. Like I said, like, by weird, I mean, like, he just kind of disappeared completely.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, oh, no, we're not doing this anymore. Like, you don't get to just disappear and then reappear as if nothing has happened and everything is good and I'm gonna do what you want me to do.
Right.
Yeah. So, gosh, I don't know how I got down that rabbit hole. What question I was answering?
Well, basically my question was, why did you decide that that's what was, you know, the thing to do in the relationship? Or
okay,
maybe you decided early on it was one thing and then it turned into the other thing. I think that's the question you were answering, and it turned into explaining what actually happened.
Yes. And when I say, like, I was encouraged, you know, by number two to participate in this other relationship, it was as if he was more into it than I was. Like, it was more of a kink for him than it was for me. But because he continually, and I mean daily for years, talked about it, encouraged me to do that, like, participate in this way, even when I was feeling like, I don't know that I want to engage with this other person anymore.
Yeah.
It was hard not to. I sound like a dude right now. It was so hard not to, because I had a person that was consistently saying, like, but you should.
And he did the same thing when it was you and I. But I think that the difference was I was willing to emotionally invest something into our relationship where your other person previous to me was not. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where things went inside our relationship. And you, but he very much encouraged you and I to not only do the extracurricular things, but also, like, he full on advocated for you and I dating. He would take the girls,
yeah,
so we could go on a date.
Yeah.
And I don't know that our plan was ever to do what we did or to do what happened. It just kind of came to fruition, but it damn sure was advocated for by everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. It's weird because, honestly, like, I feel so far removed from that situation, from that kind of a relationship, with that kind of a person. I'm, like, so uncomfortable talking about it now. And I'm like, I don't even want to talk about this anymore because I'm just so over it.
Right. But I don't know. I think the only reason that I kind of fished this out was because people don't necessarily understand it, or why you would do this or why you would do that. And honestly, I had someone ask me questions about this, and it almost seemed like they were fishing for, hey, are you interested in doing it with us, kind of thing. And
yeah,
but I'm not in that headspace anymore, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to involve people from outside the relationship, you know, because obviously you know that I've done things like that in the past too. But no, I guess just the interest or the reason for talking about it now is just it was part of your relationship. And it was it a good thing? Was it a bad thing? Was it somewhere in the middle? Was it? I guess that's kind of what, you know, because what if somebody's out there thinking, you know, my guy or my lady is pushing me to do this, and, you know, I don't know, but you know what, I heard this, and, you know, maybe I'll try it, or maybe I won't. I don't know. What do you think about all that?
I think that having a non-monogamous relationship takes a lot of work. And so, I mean, that's one of the first things that I think anyone should be clear about is, like, are you just trying to fix a problem in your relationship that actually just needs to be fixed between the two of you? Or
maybe even by one person.
Well, that's possible too. Yeah. Are you trying to cover up the fact that the person that you're with is not an okay person? Which could have been the case for me.
But how do you know that?
I didn't know that until...
Yeah.
I don't know how to say it. Like, I did and I didn't. I did and I didn't.
But my question for you now is, because as we're getting towards, you know, pretty close to an hour, is how would you tell somebody that was in this situation, you know, this is... what I saw that was a red flag for me, or, you know what, I don't think it's a good idea because of this, or I, you know what, if you think it's right for you, then jump head first. I honestly, I know my answers to those things.
Yeah.
But I'm asking you yours. We can always talk about mine later. You know, I could go, but you know, part of the reason I steered things the way I did today is because we talked a lot about my BS for a long time recently. And you know, every once
in a while. I suppose we did.
Yeah. So I was trying really hard not to make this time about me.
Now you tell me.
I don't know that was on purpose, but.
Okay.
It's also a very interesting topic, and people are interested in you as a person and what you went through. And I will say this, I am absolutely anti 100%. If you cheat, the relationship is over in my mind. However, if everyone in the relationship knows what's going on and they consent to it, that is not cheating in my mind. Okay. Yeah. So you can say that you were in an open relationship, right? But can you say that you weren't cheated on?
I don't know that. Well, I mean, again, this is another scenario where I'm like, how much do I say?
Well, I think that's an easy question. I think you already answered it. Just, you don't know.
I have reasons to have a lot of suspicion. I know. We're going to have lots of bias today. There are certain things that happened that also contributed in a significant way to the end of that marriage that I felt like I'm like following the rules here. I'm doing what you're asking me to do. I'm doing what we've agreed upon, and you are not.
So that felt dishonest, and
it was dishonest.
Okay, so once in you and I both very well know, once dishonesty happens, that's usually, in my mind, that's the end of a relationship. Dishonesty will completely tank a relationship.
Well,
doesn't really matter what else is going on, you know, absent abuse and things like that. Dishonesty is a relationship killer.
The thing is, though, there was a lot of dishonesty in the beginning of actually both of my marriages. Like, before we were even married, there was a lot of dishonesty. And I only recently, thanks to you,
What did I do?
Was able to see, oh, this wasn't just my second marriage. It was also my first marriage, where the other person lied about very significant things. Mm. And then I was like, oh, I understand. I understand why you would do that. And instead of being able to be like, I understand why you would do that, and this is also a reason for me to leave this relationship, I was just like, it's okay. I understand.
Well, you're also very good at blaming yourself for things.
I don't even know if it was about that. It was just like, I don't know. It's almost as if, like, once I get into a relationship, I'm there. And, like, I'm taking whatever is thrown at me, right? But, like, here I am.
Yeah, as a person who's been through a lot, I can see this from the outside looking at you, that you are willing to let somebody throw a lot at you. And it's, and honestly, I don't do that. You know I don't do that, but I probably could. It's not necessarily a good feeling, because I don't want someone who's easy to take advantage of, so to speak. But I also feel like you're getting better at drawing boundaries with me than you have been in the past. And I actually very much respect that you're doing that. Mm. And I actually think part of us helping each other become better people is to learn how to both of us draw those boundaries and to enforce those boundaries and to know what each other wants and expects in the relationship. Where before, in both of our previous relationships, again, we can talk more about this in the future, but there, you know, towards the end of my last relationship, I didn't want to fail, and I didn't want to fail to the level that, should that person have been honest with me, I probably would have let just about anything go. Mm-hmm. And that's not healthy. But I just didn't want to fail. And I know you know what that feels like.
Totally.
And, was it a fear of failure? So you just got divorced from your first husband and, you know, you felt like you failed. And you got into this new relationship and you didn't want to fail right away again. So is that why you allowed the things to happen that happened?
That was a huge part of it.
Right. So now we're starting to actually diagnose why the things happened that happened. Yeah. You know, we talked about what happened, but why did they happen? Well, they happened because you didn't want to fail and you thought you were making somebody happy, right? And were you doing it for them? Were you doing it for you? And these were the kind of the questions that I was asking you throughout the thing.
Yeah. Well, that was a lot.
That was I think I know what our title for this episode is going to be.
What do you think it should be?
Pandora's Box.
Oh, gosh.
Because we cracked that thing right open.
Oh, my goodness. Another thing for me about not knowing how much to say, like what's too much, obviously there's the potential impact on my children, right? And their relationship with their father. And I truly do want them to have a healthy relationship with their father. And I also acknowledge heavily that there are aspects of that are completely out of my control, that I have no control over whatsoever.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, one of the reasons that I'm like, ooh, how much can I say here? Is because for many years, I was conditioned to not say anything, to not leave the relationship, to not tell the truth about what was actually happening, because he threatened me over and over and over again. If you do that, I will take the children away. If you do that,
right,
I will ruin your career. I will defame you. I will make sure that everyone knows the truth about you. And even though I've now said the truth about me, I don't feel like it has had any negative impact on my career at all, at all. Again, you know, there might be people that have listened to what we've shared so far and been like, oh my gosh, what? She is not who I thought that she was, and I'm out of here. But if that's the case, so be it. There are also a lot of other people that have listened and they're like, wow, thank you for sharing all that.
What's actually a little surprising to me is the amount of people that are, you know, somewhat involved in similar situations. And some of those people are perfectly happy in their situations and what they're doing. And that's great. I'm happy for them that they're happy. We do have to start wrapping up. But I will say I agree with you. As a dad myself with two previous divorces, three, but two with kids. I want your kids to have a great relationship with their dad. And he is with them half the time-ish. And, you know, he has a lot of other things going on. And I'm not sitting here just trying to talk trash on him. We all know that I don't necessarily like the guy. But I do have some respect for him as a father. And and I do hope that they have a mutual respect between them, and that I just want him to be a good dad for them, and I want them to love him, and I don't want to take, in our relationship, I don't want to take his place or anything like that. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to love their mom. And I think that needs to be understood too, that, you know, just, I don't have to like the guy, but I do respect his position in your relationship and your kid's relationship. Right, with him.
Yeah.
I feel like that needs to be said, and I said it, and I mean it. It is 100% true. I will never try to take his role as a dad. I know how I would feel if somebody did that to me. Okay, so you're going to be the closing person on this episode because we did the outro now. We're super professional. And so what we've been doing lately is we've been trying to find somebody that's in a long-term relationship. This, we're talking about our next episode. Mm-hmm. And you would not believe how hard it is to find somebody who's actually been in a long-term relationship, like over, say, 15 years or something like that. And we've had to dig around through our friends looking for somebody. And boy, did we find somebody interesting to talk to you guys. And that'll be on the next one, and maybe even the next two, because I think this conversation is going to go way long, and I think it's going to be fun.
You're probably right. That's a safe assumption.
Yeah, they are one of the more interesting couples that we know, and they've also been together a long time, so I think it's going to be really cool.
Okay. Gosh. That was over an hour, and I feel like I still have so much more to say.
Right, and I feel like I feel like we can always expand on this further. Maybe when we talk about my end of things, if we do end up doing that in the future, we can kind of bounce off each other what each of us have done and whatnot. But right now, I think we should wrap up because people say we talk too much.
Oh, well, that's what a podcast is for. So bye. Hey, thanks again for joining us. We have just one thing to ask before you go, and John says you're more likely to listen to me than to him. So I get to ask that you please follow us on Instagram at NotRelationshipExperts. Come continue the conversation with us and share with your friends. We look forward to connecting with you there.